This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Let's go!
Kia ora ho mā, no mai, haere mai, ko Hannah tōku ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Now, today I'm pleased to be welcoming not one, not two, but three, yes, three new guests into the studio down at Free FM right now. Now, I'll let you guys introduce yourself, but before I do, I just wanted to say, kia ora team, great to have you here on That's The Ticket, and please consider yourselves at home. Consider yourselves part of the furniture, if you will. Oh, if you haven't guessed it, I've got a couple of cast and the director from the St. John's College and Sacred Girls Hearts joint production of Oliver. Sacred Girls Heart? Sacred Heart Girls College. Mm. Crikey. Live radio, everyone. Basically, the two schools are doing a production of Oliver. I've wrangled some people involved in the show, and like, Mandy, can I start with you, please?
Of course you can.
Because you have come up on That's The Ticket many times.
Awesome. Yeah, I have.
And this is the first time you've actually made it in, sis.
It's really good to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. You better be worth the wait is all I'm going to say.
Yikes. No pressure. Okay.
But no, thank you for being here. And thank you historically for sending in other kind of cast members to come talk about stuff on That Ticket. Always grateful. And then I turned my attention to the rangatahi in the space. I've got Riva. I've got Alex. Do I get you guys to say which is which, or do we just keep going and people can guess?
No, I'm Alex.
And I'm Riva.
Okay. And so you guys are both in Oliver?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And who are we playing?
I'm playing Dodger.
Okay.
And I'm playing Fagin.
Mm. Okay, we got Dodger, we got Fagin, and then Mandy, you're not up to much, eh?
Nah, just sit back, watch. Yeah.
No, but I feel like, you guys can decide amongst yourselves who wants to answer this next question, because I always kind of, the pointing that's happening in front of me, see, no one's safe. I'm going to subtitle this interview, guys. But I always like to ask people kind of like, what is it, when is it, where is it, how is it feeling today? Like those kind of questions about the show. And I'm directing this one at Mandy because I assume you made this decision. But so it's the hit musical Oliver, but it's set in 90s New Zealand.
Yeah, it is.
Why?
No. Why not?
Yeah, good answer. Yeah. I will accept that.
Because I think that the key themes of poverty and domestic violence and friendship are still really, really relevant today. But I didn't really want to set it today. So I looked at when poverty in New Zealand was starting to really become, it's always been a problem, but more of a problem, and that was the 90s.
Okay.
So we just went back there.
And I guess it's educational for the young ones as well, because, you know, we had this chat off air, and I do, it's my toxic trait. I bring stuff we talk about off air, on air. But before we, you know, started the show today, it became apparent that very few people in the studio right now lived through the 90s. and it was quite humbling.
Ouch. Okay.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, mainly for me. I'm the only person here who was alive in the 90s, and it was hard.
I was too, but we don't admit to it. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I built that for you, and then
thank you
just...
Thank you. Yeah, no, I couldn't lie.
Everyone gets very honest on the show, eh? But, so, I guess... Now I turn to you two, and I mean, based on who you guys are playing, I feel like you're equipped to kind of tell me a little bit about the story, like what the show's about. It's up to you guys.
I really hope so, guys.
It's up to you guys how spoilery we get, or at least you can base it in your own involvement in the show if that's easier, but like tell me what it's about a little bit.
I think you want to start us off, don't you?
You've got the first act.
Oh, okay. Oh boy, this isn't going to go well. Okay, so it starts off with Oliver going to Helping Hands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he asks for some more food, and it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Gets in a lot of trouble, and he gets sold to the Sabeos, which are the funeral people. Yeah, yeah. People who sell coffins.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the word. And during that, he ends up escaping, and where he meets me, Dodger, and he joins Fagin's gang.
Okay, and then that's where you come in, Ryder.
That's where I come in. That's where that's where I teach all of the ways of pickpocketing and stealing and crime. And he ends up bringing himself into this life before getting caught. Maybe I shouldn't go into too much detail.
It's up to you how into Act 2 we want to get.
Yeah. Without getting into depth too much, there's a lot of violence.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun.
Okay. I want to follow that just because this is the first time in 5 years of That's the Ticket that I have had a high school student come in and say with confidence, there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of fun. This is a staged production of a musical and everyone is giving consent and everything is done safely, right?
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. And we have toned it down. We've actually got Marion Primary School involved as well.
Oh,
so
bless.
We've got 24 students from Marion involved in the opening scene.
I wonder if my niece is in it.
I hope so.
Yeah, we can have that chat
we
off
can.
Here.
So we have toned it down, but it's definitely implied. Like, everybody, like, without spoiling anything, everyone knows the story of Oliver.
Yes, well, I know what happens in Act 2, and I want to ask, like, is it the actual script or is it, like, an abridged version that's suitable for, like...
No, it's the actual script.
Okay. I'm glad, actually. You know, give it the full crack, Tim.
Yeah. Can't shy away from it. It happens.
Yeah.
We address it. We do it in a way that's not too terrible, I don't think. And safe for younger viewers.
Yeah,
parent discretion.
This is good because my next kind of question was going to be about like age ratings, content warnings, and we've kind of just beautifully segued into that. But
cool. As
you said, because it is a youth production, you can bring young people to it. You've been warned, sort of situation.
Yeah.
Yep. You know your kid. You've been warned. Yeehaw.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And so you guys are running down at Clarence Street Theatre, right?
Yep.
And it's 26th to 28th of March, and you've got 7 p.m. shows, and then there's a 2 p.m. matinee and on the 28th as well. So you got a two-show day.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Have you guys been in your school productions before?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we've done a two-show day?
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
High School Musical, right?
Yes. Yeah. And Rock of Ages.
And Sound of Music.
Probably. Yeah.
Bit of a recurring theme here. Why do you make them do two in one day, sis?
That's a good question.
I only make them do it every second year. Sacred Heart make them do it every other year.
Okay.
Because the matinee's good for grandparents and young children. And
I mainly was being silly. I love a two-show day. And when I was your age, I loved a two-show day too because it's just a very exciting time. And... if you don't know your words by then, you will by the second show. I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
are we at that point? I mean, I'm just thinking you're opening on the 26th. Like, we're getting to that crunch time. This is the privilege of That's the Ticket, is often I get to talk to people when they're, like, in the crunch time of their rehearsals. And I'm just sitting here being like, oh, this sounds great. How are you doing? And you're like, I don't know what day it is. I've got so much choreo in my head. I need to get my scripts down. But because this is a school production, like, when do you guys start rehearsing for this? Like, how long have you been working on it?
Oh, don't point that at me. about a month and a half now, right? Since...
Sure.
January.
Yeah. He's right. A month and
something.
A half. Yeah.
Far out. They grow up fast, don't they?
Mm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But it's been in the works since August last year, where we started applying for rights and planning, and we auditioned and cast last year.
And because that's the thing. Like, you have auditions and stuff. How big is the cast?
59.
Okay, that's quite a bit to be getting on with, Mandy.
Yeah. I mean, it was more, but some people couldn't do it because they were going away for Mardi Cup and other things like that. But we took, we did have to turn away a few because otherwise it would have been over 100, which is a lot in our environment. But they're going to be involved backstage and otherwise.
Yeah, you always find a way, eh?
Yeah.
Far, is this the biggest one yet?
No.
Okay, what was the biggest one? It's not a competition, but it kind of is, so tell me.
I think we High School Musical was 70.
Okay. I went and saw that, and it was great. That sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but no, it's just I went with a colleague who was good mates with one of the adults in the cast.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've never been to the theatre, you've been to the theatre, come with me. And I'm like, I am so grateful for this excuse to attend High School Musical because I didn't know anyone in the cast. Like, it would have just been weird if I rocked up. And
no, it was great. Weird.
It was, like, the energy was out the gate, and I feel like it's going to be a similar vibe with this one.
I hope so. The casting adults in the show last time was intentional to get theatre kind of up and off the ground.
Yeah.
And we had, two staff. We haven't done that this time because we've got heaps of cast.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it.
Yeah, and it's a large adult script, so, like, it would be weird to have one teacher playing one adult and then, like, River playing another adult because they don't look the same. So we went with no adults. We had staff wanting to audition.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, sadly turn them away. But, yeah, forever grateful to Jude and Dom for stepping into those roles, and Dom being the deputy principal, making drama cool at a boys' school.
Well, I mean, drama is very cool. Would you guys not agree?
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess because this, before we went on air, you were saying this is your last one?
This is my last one.
Yeah.
I still got one more.
Yeah, my last one too.
I was going to say, tell me more about it. I love the exclusive here on that ticket. Okay. And how are you feeling about it being your last one?
Oh, it's an experience, you know, after all these years. Well, only two to be fair, but that's still a lot of years if you really think about it.
Yeah. I just ask yourself that question when you're my age.
Yeah. It's been awesome, and seeing myself leaving the space is pretty crazy, and I am actually looking forward to doing more theatre outside of school.
Okay, great.
I've been in one other production, Freaky Friday for Riverlake.
I went and saw that.
Yeah. Oh. Did you recognise us?
Were you guys both in it?
Yeah, you had Kyla and Beth on the show.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And then I took my mum to see the show because it felt like an appropriate show to take your mum to. Kia ora, mum. You always got to say hi to your mum. If your mum's listening, you have to say hello.
Oh, hi, mum.
Yeah.
Hi, mum.
Hi, mum.
Yeah. You got to do it. I'm sure my mum will text me in a minute saying hello to everyone just in case no one else they needed a mum to say hey. Okay, yeah, so you guys were both in Freaky Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, crikey. Right, I've got more questions to ask, but I think I need to break for some songs because that's kind of how I roll, and I'm really proud of myself because the show is about me. It's not about you guys doing what sounds like a great production and reimagination of the hit musical Oliver. It's about me and my song choices here on That's the Ticket today. So because this production of Oliver is set in 90s New Zealand, I'm like, let's go for some 90s Kiwi bangers. I don't know how I'm going to feel if you guys don't know the song, to be honest. That's just a carrying to me. So there's a lot of pressure on just anyone who's listening right now to be like, yeah, this is a tune. And if you're driving, just, like, you know, behave yourself. But I've gone for How Bizarre. OMC. Hopefully you'll know it when you hear it, or just pretend. You guys really are good actors. But enjoy this one, and we'll be right on back.
Brother Bellas in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly red blue lights flash us from behind, loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Ballet bridge works for comfort, Cena just hides her eyes, policeman taps the shades and sells a Chevy 69. How bizarre, how bizarre, how bizarre. Destination unknown as we pull in for some gas. Officially placed a poster reveals a smile from the pack. Elephants and acrobats, lion, snakes, monkey. Bella speaks righteous, Sister Cena says funky. How bizarre, how bizarre, how bizarre. it's the elephants of town. People jump and jive and the clowns are stuck around. TV news and cameras, there's choppers in the sky. Marines, police, reporters ask where, for and why. Belly yells, we're out of here, seen a suit right on. Making moves and starting grooves before they knew we were gone. Jumped into the Chevy, headed for big lights. Wanna know the rest, hey, by the rights. How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre.
Ooh, baby.
Welcome back to That's the Ticket with me, Hannah Mooney, and I've got a couple of cast members and the director of Oliver, the hit musical that has been, adapted? How do I describe what you're doing? It's basically 90s New Zealand is kind of how you're presenting this iconic story, right?
Yep.
Safe bet. I mean, Mandy approves, so that's all I'm here for. You know, if a teacher tells you that it's all good, it's all good. But we've been covering a lot of ground, and I've got to keep asking you questions because I want to get my money's worth today. But so, you know, before that song break, I learnt that there's like 59 people in the cast. It's a lot. Just want to give that a moment, that is a lot of people. And so, Mandy, you're directing. Who else have we got on the team?
We have such an awesome creative team. I'm super excited that we've extended. We've got an assistant director this year.
Yeehaw.
So Connor Maxwell, friend of the show.
Oh, friend of the show. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Kia ora, Connor.
So he's doing the assistant directing, which has been so helpful. He's there now finishing rehearsal because I'm here.
Shot. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Connor. And Malcolm Barr is our musical director, vocal coach.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Donna McHugh's our production manager, keeps us all in line.
Okay, shot, yeah. Donna.
And we have a super lovely choreographer who Alex could probably tell you more about because it's his big sister.
Oh, so, family affair. We love to see it. Yeah, please tell me more.
We love Mackenzie.
Yeah, choreographer is Mackenzie. She's super cool.
I mean, you have to say that. But have you worked on shows with your sister before?
Once. Into the Woods at Overly Theatre.
Oh,
she
yes.
She choreographed that. I think that was her first show she choreographed. So wow. Super cool.
Yeah,
she is super cool. I've thrown everything at her, and I don't want to, give too much away, but if I say, hey, can we put in some tapping and some trolley dancing, she goes, yeah, cool, and makes it happen. So
okay.
That's been not saying there is tapping or trolley dances, but you have to come and find out.
Yeah, I mean, that alone is enough to motivate me, especially if you guys are involved, because this is the thing on That's the Ticket. I meet people, we talk for a little bit, and then I'm like, cool, now I'm part of the show. Like, give me credit in the program. I feel like I've been on the journey the entire time. But I'm not going to ask you to list everyone in the show because I feel like that would just eat up the rest of the time. But is there anyone else we want to shout out?
Oh, probably Raph.
Raph is a friend of the show, Raph?
Raph is a friend of the show, Raph. He probably did the High School Musical.
Yes.
That's the ticket. Yeah, so he's on board as a dramaturg and research assistant and assistant director and all things.
Oh, wow.
So he comes along in between his busy schedule and writes my notes and tells us all if it's fitting the 90s vibe.
Okay,
so
great.
There's probably more people, lots of people involved, so thank you to everyone involved doing props and set and stuff, but yeah. I don't want to forget anyone, so I'm going to stop.
Yeah, that's why we do this. And I guess I want to ask, like, you know, before we broke for that first track, you guys haven't been rehearsing for that long. I mean, I don't know. This is the thing. I always ask guests about how long their rehearsal periods are, and they always answer, and I'm always like, yes, I'm an expert. I'm not. But I guess, like, how has the rehearsal process been going for you guys?
Awesome sauce.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's been good. Good time. Made some good connections. Made a good community with the cast, you know?
And because it's probably quite a mixed group, right? And so there's people that you would have worked on shows with before, like you two, and then people who you're kind of, connecting with and working with for the first time, especially because there's a whole nother school involved, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it's cool to see that new people are getting involved in theatre, especially at St. John's, seeing those guys give it a go, and it's like, man, that's awesome. Pretty cool when we leave that there'll still be guys doing theatre at our school. So we'll build that community up, and yeah.
Yeah, that's important. We've got a range of year nines as well.
Oh,
I mean, our Oliver's played by a year nine.
Yeah, well, you need one little one, right?
Well. he had the audacity to grow over summer.
Oh, great. Shot,
so
bro.
He grew a little bit, and now he's... somewhat tall.
Yeah.
So that was rude, but that's, I guess, the risk of casting before the year starts.
Yeah,
he's still doing
a
great job. Absolutely great. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, and then I guess, do you guys rehearse, is it a mixture of, like, or is it all outside of school hours because it's the cross different schools thing?
Yeah, it's all outside. We do Thursdays, Tuesdays and Saturdays.
Okay, logistically I'm already like,
I don't know why I didn't order those. Yeah. So we do Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, yeah.
Yeah.
8 hours a week.
Okay. That's good effort, guys. Again, happy for you guys to be thriving in that space while I just hear about it. And this is a bit of a cheeky question, but I'm going to do it because it's my radio show and you can't stop me. But as I alluded to before, it's like I always talk to people when they're in crunch time. Like, you guys literally left a rehearsal to come hang out with me, so... Nga mihi nui. But are we ready to get into the theatre? Get into that next phase?
Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah.
We all know our lines.
Yeah.
Do we? You're looking at your director.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be exciting getting into the space.
Mm.
But might be a little bit more learning to do still. It's looking awesome though.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
On the whole, I'm confident where it's at for this far out from the show.
Mm.
Like, everything's finished, everything's taught, the singing, the blocking.
Yeah.
The choreo's all done, it's now just polishing.
Yeah.
And I think the next step, getting into the space, will really help.
Yeah, having that one day where everyone forgets which way is which and then you figure it out and you're good to go, right?
Yeah.
And I guess because you guys were talking about lines, this is another question I like to ask whenever I have actors in the studio. And line learning...
Oh dear.
Oh, so do we have a method? Like, how do you learn new lines?
Oh, sometimes. No. Sometimes there's a method. Sometimes it just kind of happens from doing the scenes, I guess, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. In Lion King, I sat down with my book and I went over each line and saw how far I could get, and then I could try to go further after that, you know?
Yeah, there's always the strategy of, like, recording the other people's lines.
Yep.
And then saying your lines back, because it's really important to get those cues.
Mm.
Or you just hammer yourself, you just read line over line over line over line. But sometimes you forget when you do that.
No, I just always like to ask, because, you know, I've had people come in with very specific highlighting methods, people writing them down backwards, people holding a plank while they do their monologues.
Or maybe not.
Maybe not for your guys' songs, eh?
Yeah,
no. A bit long.
I mean, there's probably a bit of... You got enough choreo to do anyway, right?
Yeah.
definitely.
Okay, and then another question that I often like to ask actors, and I will open this up to the director as well, because I feel like this is one you can have an opinion on, is, and I'm aware that you guys have quite a short season, but the question is opening night versus closing night. Which one is your favourite?
Oh, I think Miss Sutton.
And I know you love them all equally, but for the sake of radio chat...
For the sake of radio chat, I've as an actor, I prefer closing night. As a director, I prefer opening.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Why?
The excitement about opening night. Closing night, as a director, is really sad because everyone else is sad and they project and it's like, oh, it's done now, all that hard work. Mm. Whereas opening night, it's like the excitement of we're going to put this on stage and it's going to be really cool and we know we've got 3 or 4 more shows.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, bonus question. Which one would you say from the burning building, being an actor or being a director?
Being a director.
Oh, she was ready. Yep. Okay. All right. I mean, hey, it's always nice to see you on stage, though. It happens once in a while.
Once in a while. Last year was... Yeah, I was in The Last Thing We Build.
Yeah.
Directed by Mel Allison. Yeah.
Yeah. Another instance of where we talked about you on that ticket, but you were not here.
I was not.
Okay, you two. Opening night versus closing night. What are we going to go with?
It has to be closing night, especially in high school theatre. You get to see all the big guys in the show. You get to see them shed some tears when they give their ending speeches and they all,
That's going to be you this year.
No.
Hey, safe space.
Yeah.
Alex?
Oh, closing night for sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, I think all I ever said, you know, is to, I don't know, get the feels. And I don't know, the show feels like it's at its peak then as well, you know, like you've built it up from opening night and you're all like, you know, let's go, last one.
Yeah. Although I have no doubt that every performance of Oliver at Clarence Street Theatre is going to be at peak performance no matter what show you go to and that everyone's going to give their 100% on every single show.
For sure. Yeah.
Just
my thing, and I, you know, I always ask this question on That's the Ticket and then answer it. So if you're a regular listener, sorry, you've probably heard this before, but I think because I'm an audience member, I'm a fan of opening night. Because I'm like, this show is for me. Because this is the first time that you guys have done it in front of an audience or a large audience. And so I'm like, you're thinking about your performance, but you're also thinking about me as, you know, the audience member. And everyone's focus is like, I got to say it correct. I got to get this right. I got to nail it. But then that being said, the more you get into the season, like everyone gets a bit more comfortable and... In a good way, no performance is ever the same, right?
Yeah.
It kind of grows in that space, which is what we want. And that's the magic of live theatre because, you know, we're rehearsing, we're putting in the effort, but there's always something that makes each performance unique. So if you need motivation to go and see more than one performance of Oliver, there you go.
Yeah, no. I agree.
Yeah. Classically trained. And actually, is there any like double casting in this one?
No, there's not.
Okay.
Why did I have to think about that?
I wasn't going to call you out on it, but again, very honest on That's the Ticket. It seems. But don't worry, I'll give you some more thinking time because I've got to break for a very important segment. And if you've listened to That's the Ticket before, you'll be aware of this. It's time for Rick's pick. So how this works is I have an Uncle Rick and he's a great listener of radio, a great listener of music. And when I started That's the Ticket, you guys are episode number 256. Congratulations.
Hey, wow.
256 wow. Episodes ago. He was like, hey, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like. And every week you can pick a song from the list and play Rick's pick. And every week I have, and now I get a bit English essay with it, no one asked, but I try and pick a song from the list that, like, matches who I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And so I've gone for a David Bowie track, and it's called Dirty Boys, because you guys are all orphans and you're all grubby and stuff. Get your head out of the gutter. Oh, my goodness. This is a family show. Because you're all orphans and you're all grubby. No, you can laugh, it's fine. Everyone else is probably laughing at home. But it's also, I don't know, David Bowie's great, and any kind of way I can squeeze him into the show, I will take it. So, Uncle Rick, as always, thank you for your pick, and this one is for you, mate.
Road, living on a lonely road. I will pull you out of there. We will go to Finchley Fair. The hat. I will steal a cricket bat, smash some windows, make a noise. We will run the dirty boys.
When the sun goes down, the dark is cast. When the
That was this week's Rick's Pick. Bit of, is it niche? David Bowie track. A few of my guests in the studio were like, oh, I hadn't heard that one before. It was David Bowie's Dirty Boys, because we're talking about Oliver, where there's just a bunch of kind of orphans pickpocketing and getting up to mischief, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's a safe bet. And Mandy, I'm going to do it because nothing you say off air is safe. But Mandy confessed that she's a regular listener to That's the Ticket, and she knew what Rick's Pick was. And what did you say to me, Mandy?
I said that's my favourite segment of the show. Love Rick's Picks.
Not me. Am I not your favourite part of the show?
Yeah, you're my second favourite part of the show.
Oh, okay. Good thing we're almost done, eh? Otherwise, I'll just cut it. No, but you know, as I keep saying, we're covering a lot of ground with Oliver, which is opening at Clarence Street Theatre, 26th of March, running until the 28th, 7 p.m. shows plus a 2 p.m. matinee on the 28th as well. But because I've kind of got some hints that everyone in the studio here has done stuff outside of school. That applies to all of you, actually, has done stuff outside of school. And obviously I'm aware that Oliver is the main focus right now. But I got to ask if anyone else has anything coming up, anything else on the books that they can talk about. If it's a secret, just tell me, it's fine. It's just us in the studio. No one else is listening. Shh.
Well, I've got a show coming up in a really long time away. Haven't started rehearsing for it yet, but it's called Passion Fruits, written, and it's going to be directed by Liam Hinton.
Oh, yes. One Question.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
That's exciting. It's going to be my first non-musical show.
Oh, wow.
Which is awesome.
Well done.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex, anything on the books?
Oh, no. Not yet. We'll see what comes up and, yeah.
Yeah. And then, Mandy, I've got to ask, are you going to hit the stage again anytime soon?
Probably not this year.
Okay. But
no.
Why, you got heaps of time?
Heaps of so much time between everything, yeah. And having two small children who wanted a shout out. So, hi Bench, hi Zander.
Oh, kia ora.
Also in the show as well.
Are they?
Yeah, because I feel bad being at rehearsal all the time and not mumming. So I was like, you guys can just be in it. So
yeah.
With the 24 Marion students, they are the other two, so that's 26, plus our 59. So that's our big cast number.
Okay, that's cute.
Yeah.
Is Dad in the show?
No, but he does all the photography and marketing for us.
Okay, so it really so is the whole
it's
family.
It's a family affair, just not my daughter who's down in Wellington and feeling a bit sad about it.
Okay.
I probably should shout out her too, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, Charlotte.
Sorry, Charlotte.
Yeah. But no, these two were on stage at the very beginning. River and Alex were on stage with my children doing random things to set the scene.
Okay, I love that. Mm. No pressure for you guys.
Yeah, don't tip my child out of a trolley, please.
Hey, I thought the trolleys was a maybe. That's what I heard.
Oh, yeah, if hypothetically. We should probably shout out New World for lending the potential trolleys.
Okay.
So New World Hillcrest.
Okay, kia ora New World Hillcrest. And with your young ones, is this their first time on stage?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very surprised. They're like sport mad. Sport is life. Football.
Okay.
Soccer, rugby, all the sport.
Yeah.
And yeah, but last year when I did Last Thing We Build, they were my line learning buddies and they got so into it that, yeah, they jumped at the chance to do this. They've grown up watching these guys do things, so they were always at like rehearsals for High School Musical and things like that, and they learned pretty quickly that acting is different to real life. And like, so they were obsessed with Sharpay in High School Musical and how mean she was. So I introduced them to Tegan, who was the loveliest person. And they were like, oh, wow, this is what acting is.
You're like, wow, sis has got range.
Yeah, yeah. And so this time they're kind of like, can we be involved? I was like, actually, you know what? Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sometimes,
Okay, well, shot team, I'm sure you guys are going to do amazing. And then you guys, I think we've kind of touched on this throughout the show, but you've got a bit of a history in the arts, but it wasn't always that way, right? I think, River, are you the rugby player that converted?
I'm the rugby player that converted to theatre. <Yeah. laughs>
This is Troy Bolton, guys.
not quite, it was Jack Scott, but...
Yeah,
it was a big change, never thought I'd do theatre.
What got you into it?
I could say my brother, but I don't want to be.
I heard you whisper me, Mandy.
It was me, no.
And then
go on, it was Strauss.
No, I'm gonna be mean to my brother and not say it was Strauss. I'm gonna say it was definitely you and Mr. Maxwell, the teachers at St. John's, the drama teachers, everybody involved in the arts at St. John's is awesome. Great.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah, we got there.
20 brownie points.
Also, kia ora Strauss, because I feel like credit where credit's due, right? And then, Alex, have you always been theatery? Or did your sister convert you just like his brother converted him?
Probably, yeah. Nah, I was pretty quiet before my sister got into theatre and watched her do a couple of those. I was like, may as well give it a go.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Had cool teachers along the way, like Mrs. Hughes from my primary school, Mr. Maxwell and Mrs. Hale. They definitely encouraged that. And, you know, all the directors that I've worked with, just, you know, build up that confidence and, you know, here we are.
And then last kind of spot question for the room is musicals versus plays. Everyone always groans at that one. Everyone's just staring everyone down. And I'm like, you can't look at me, I'm the person asking the question.
I prefer musicals, I think. Definitely in acting in them. Like, I like doing that.
Okay.
I like watching musicals more, and I haven't been in enough plays to say.
Okay.
Like acting in plays.
It's
better.
A very diplomatic answer. Outright. Mandy, if you want to split this into directing versus being in, I will allow it.
Could I just pass on the whole question?
Oh,
will
really?
You, will you allow that?
I guess.
Yeah, thank you.
If it's too hard.
You know.
Don't look at me like
you
that.
Know, yeah. You know what you like more.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
I love directing musicals. It's great. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I prefer plays. I prefer acting in plays.
Yeah. Okay.
And I prefer directing plays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you are directing a musical.
Yeah, because it's so much fun and you get more people involved.
Yeah.
So the community and the people involved in musicals is pretty special.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
But I guess the control freak in me likes directing the plays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess because there's more creative license in a musical, right? Or I guess the power is divided more equally because you've got your MD, you've got your choreo.
Yeah.
And your director. You're still mighty, though. We still see you. We still see your power. Oh, gosh, what a show it's been today. But I'm just going to do my last segment, which is upcoming events, so you guys can just chill out, or if there's anything else you want to plug, just jump in. But here is some of the cool creative things coming up in Kirikiriroa Hamilton in the not-so-distant future. So in case you haven't heard, Oliver is running at Clarence Street Theatre from the 26th to the 28th of March, 7 p.m. shows, a 2 p.m. matinee on the 28th. More info on tickets at Ticketek. Friends of the show, Hamilton Playbox, and I had some guests in last week, have Unnecessary Farce on at Rivoli Theatre from the 13th of March to the 28th of March, 7:30 p.m. shows and 2 p.m. matinees on the 21st and 28th of March. More info on tickets at iTicket. Over at the Meteor, they have You, Me and Everybody Band in on the 12th of March at 7 p.m. More info on tickets at themeteor.co.nz. And then Jim Beam Homegrown hits Hamilton this weekend on the 14th of March, and an awesome opportunity to explore the city, walk the bridge and feel the vibes will be running too with Bridge to Homegrown. So they're shutting Cleveland's Bridge and it's going to be open for anyone who fancies some festival energy, food trucks, activities and a safe direct route across the river. More info at hlive.co.nz. I think that one's cool because it's not every day that you get to walk on a bridge that is reserved for traffic. So, you know, it's arts adjacent, so I found a way. I mean, we've already talked about sports today. We've got a rugby player in the studio. Flanker, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Were you any good?
I mean, if I was any good, I'd probably still be playing rugby,
oh,
right?
Oh, this is a safe, uplifting space, mate. Come on now. And then I'm not sure how this question's going to go, but I always like to end the show, you know, with my guests. You've been here on TTT with me, giving me the tea, the inside scoop. And so I like to ask guests how they take their tea. Like, if you're making a cup of tea, do any of my young ones drink tea? Okay, how do you take your tea?
2 sugars.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Only a tiny bit of milk.
Okay.
Can't deal with the milk.
Alex, do you drink tea?
No.
That's okay.
My sister does, but
yeah. Yeah, okay. Mandy, do you drink tea?
Iced tea only.
Iced tea only?
Mm.
Okay, what's the coffee situation?
However it comes, with caffeine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a high school teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Well, I mean, that'll probably do for today, but thank you so much for your time and break a leg. And do you guys know what break a leg means? I promise I'm not threatening you. So it's like a superstition. Yeah. I can explain it because we're not in a theatre, so it's not going to be bad luck. But the superstition is that it is bad luck to wish someone good luck. And so what you do is you say break a leg because it's like the opposite. And then there's other kind of theories about breaking a leg being like the curtains are sometimes referred to as legs. So when you step out from behind the leg, you're breaking that. And Google it in your own time. It's a whole thing. I could talk for hours and I don't have hours left. But thanks again. And to my lovely listeners, you can bet that I'll be back soon with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, I'm going to play us out with some more Kiwi bangers because why not?
Mm.
I've got Super Groove, Can't Get Enough, and then Language by Dave Dobbin, which was very popular. I believe it was 1990. I can't remember my research, and I'm looking at Mandy like she was there and you weren't. So, you know, shot me. But, oh, gosh. I was going to say, yeah, it seems everyone here just can't get enough, but I feel like they can. So enjoy this one, team, and I'll catch you next week.
For better, for worse, for what? When the second best upon here, mixing up a storm, brewing up a tornado.
Having an abundance of platonic relationships, reminiscent of my man, Mike Plato.
I was running down the street, just screaming, I was blind, but I lost my voice like I lost my mind. And I couldn't get another, couldn't get another, couldn't get another, couldn't get another, couldn't get another. No! I was born to conform to the norm, yawn like a lawn born. I was born to reform, worn corn, and all the picking and beating, ringing and sucking, and making them up the cup.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.